Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you. WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Glenn Thomas. Always with me is the Wizard himself. Wizard, how are you doing? Hope you have a voice after the Washington Capitals finally make it to the Stanley Cup after 20 years. How are you doing today, man?
I'm all right. My voice is coming back finally, but it was gone at one point.
Yo, let's get started like we normally do. Got a special interview today with Drew McIntyre that we're going to play a little bit later. But let's get to the world of professional wrestling. Monday Night Raw, we saw a good main event, Finn Balor versus Braun Strowman. A very good main event. Both guys coming out looking whole in this thing. Braun Strowman coming out still looking like the monster, and Finn Balor still coming out looking good as well. Your thoughts on the main event for Monday Night Raw?
It was a very, very good main event, as you stated. I think that was a main event Raw needed, because it felt like Raw was maybe losing steam the last couple of weeks. So they needed a really good, solid main event, and that was what they got. Finn Balor delivering. You don't really worry about, this is my opinion, but you don't really worry about a Finn Balor in that atmosphere. Like, he's gonna deliver. But this was a true... not test, but like a true evaluation of where Braun is. And Braun stepped up to the plate, and he knocked him out the park with Finn. So I really think they put on a good performance, and I look forward to seeing Money in the Bank definitely with them.
Definitely a good performance by both of them, and I think they did very well in the match. I think this match was booked very well by Stephanie McMahon. Well, kayfabe Stephanie McMahon saying that Finn Balor and Braun Strowman really wasn't a tag team anyway, so they needed to go ahead and get it on and fight. You know, we talk about that being one of the better segments of the night, but, you know, everybody's talking about the worst segment of the night, and some people say want to go on and say is the worst segment ever in Raw history. I've heard, you know, mention of Katie Vick and all this other stuff that come up. That's the Sami Zayn and the Bobby Lashley segment with Bobby Lashley's quotation marks sisters with Sami Zayn. You know, I've never been a big proponent of anybody bringing family members or bringing fake people in anyway with sisters and stuff like that. It's not a good look. Didn't come off well on TV. Could have served the purpose without even doing all that. You know, we knew Sammy was lying about the vertigo anyway. Just let these two guys fight at Money in the Bank and get it over with. That segment did not have to be done. It could have saved 10, 15 minutes of our life. You know, your thoughts?
I mean, yeah, same thing. I mean, I don't think it furthered anything with their storyline. It just stood up time. So, yeah, I could have done without it.
There's no doubt of it, you know. And Raw had one of the lowest ratings they had in a while this past Monday night. SmackDown been on fire as of late.
SmackDown, you had Daniel Bryan taking on Jack, which was an excellent match, a pay-per-view
quality type match on SmackDown. With Daniel Bryan getting the W here, he will face Samoa Joe next week for another opportunity to get into the Money in the Bank ladder match. You know, I thought that match on SmackDown was good. Naomi beating Sonya Deville was another good match. You got to have somebody ask why Naomi is in the ladder match. And I say, well, you got to look at it this way. Naomi is the Kofi Kingston for the women. If you want a high spot, she's going to do a high spot in the match. She is a Kofi Kingston woman. For Kofi Kingston of women. And she had to be in a match. Your thoughts on Daniel Bryan and Naomi getting second chances?
It's a little confusing just because you don't usually see less storyline driven. You don't see somebody getting a second or third or whatever chance to get into the Money in the Bank match. But, I mean, I don't mind them being in it. I mean, Naomi is the Kofi Kingston, Shelton Benjamin, person that's going to be in that match. So, I mean, I don't mind them being in it. I mean, I see no problems with it.
You know, when we talk about SmackDown, big news coming out this week early about SmackDown. that SmackDown, you know, no longer be, it's not going to be renewed on the USA Network. More so that WWE has sold the rights to SmackDown to Fox. The deal actually being worth $1 billion over 5 years, you know, which I think is a good move for WWE. Only thing I do not like about this thing, and if it's set in stone, is SmackDown on Friday nights. Now, I'm old enough to remember when SmackDown were on Friday nights. Yeah, you had your Friday night SmackDown. You know, but times have changed a little bit as far as Friday night. Technology has changed. In your opinion, one, is this a good move by WWE? Two, do you think Friday nights will actually work for SmackDown?
The move is definitely a good move. That's a no-brainer move for WWE to take that deal. It's going to be interesting how they promote between Raw and SmackDown, because as of right now, Raw is going to remain on USA, which is an NBC network, and SmackDown, I believe, is going to go to Fox Sports 1, which is a Fox network. So it's going to be interesting how they may or may not go back and forth between the two, considering they're on two completely different stations. But it's been done before in a sense, but although I think UPN was in the same family with NBC, but I'm not sure. But anyway, as far as SmackDown going to Friday night, that's going to be interesting because a lot of people go out on Friday night. But then again, it probably doesn't matter at this point because we're in the age of a DVR and, you know, streaming subscription programs where it's not really going to matter. I mean, you're going to watch SmackDown one way or the other at some point. So.
Yeah, you can watch it, but, you know, most people watch it live. I don't think Friday night is a good move, in my opinion. You especially going in the fall.
You know what?
I'm
going to disagree with you, G-Lo. I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think most people watch stuff live anymore. Some do. I don't think it's the majority anymore, though. I think we're really in an age where now everything is on streaming subscription or DVR to where you don't have to watch it live. That's the entire convenience. So I don't think people are watching. I don't think as many people are watching it live as you may think.
We're going to have to get those numbers. I think those numbers and are more people live. I think DVR numbers, I know DVR numbers do count when it comes to Nielsen ratings. You know, I know myself, I personally DVR it, but my kids watch it live. You know,
okay.
So I'll go back. Somebody's in my house is watching it live as it go on. I DVR it. So I'll come home later, get out of the office, whatever, and I'll watch SmackDown maybe the next morning or later on that night, you know, Tuesday night, which comes on. Other aspect of it is Friday nights, especially in the fall, you have football games. You know, your people are watching football. People are going to football games, going to high school games. They're attending different things in the fall. So the question is, then it has to go to the WWE. Are you going to go back to taping it on Tuesday night and air it on Friday with the day of age? As you mentioned, technology, errors, spoilers. If I can go back to watching the spoiler, looking at the spoiler on Wednesday morning or late Tuesday night, do I really want to watch SmackDown on Friday? The way that it's set up now is there's no room for spoilers. You have to watch SmackDown on Tuesday to find out what happens.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you this now. I don't think that $1 billion deal is going to be for them taping it. That's for sure. You're not going to get the ratings, you know, with taping it. I think they're going to do it live regardless. I think that's one of the incentives is that they're able to do it live. So I definitely don't see them taping it.
This is what you run into the era. Now you have to fill an arena on a Friday night where you have all these other activities in this community. You're not doing Texas on a Friday night.
You know what? That's an excellent point. I totally forgot that you're definitely going to have to go live on Friday night. That may be a mistake. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, you're going to have to do some town where you can fill it. You can't black out the whole arena. You're not going to do Texas on a Friday night. And I use Texas because that's one of the big football states. And I just know from here, when NXT came to Virginia on a Friday night, that theater or that arena wasn't full, you know, because it was doing football season. In the heart of Richmond, Friday nights, it's Friday night lights during the fall. And those thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people who are football games that are wrestling fans, you know, are going to see their son or their grandson or their cousin or their nephew play football, then go see a WWE event on Friday night. So if they do it live, they need to go to a city where there's football is not prevalent.
But that's not, I mean, you can't, unfortunately, you don't have, you can't just plan around that, so that's not going to work for them either. I don't see the Friday night move unless they're really going to go back to taping. And if they're going to go back to taping, I don't know how in the world they got a $1 billion deal for taped shows. I don't care how good the product is. I mean, that'd be an incentive of mine if I was a network going after SmackDown. My incentive is that they're running live. And honestly, I think they do go to 3 hours. I really do.
And then definitely, if you can go 3 hours on a Friday night, as you mentioned, people go out.
Yeah,
that,
no, you're right.
That, how do you keep me for that 3 hours starting at 8 o'clock, 11 o'clock? I'm not going out till 11 o'clock till SmackDown goes off. You know, and that's maybe a good time. So they may have to change another night, and they may have to keep the 2 hours. You know, it may not be a situation where...
I don't think they see... I mean, it's just something about this new deal. I really don't think they're sticking to 2 hours. I really think they go to three. That's just... There's too much dead content on... Here's the thing. So part of the reason why SmackDown was able to stay at 2 hours on USA is because that block of time that WWE fills for the week on on NBC's networks is already, you know, suffice with, you know, Raw coming on and, you know, and WWE week, you know, in December and stuff, so.
Right, yeah. I mean, you mentioned the WWE. So where's your tribute for the troops? Is that going to be on USA? Is it going to be on Fox? You have, the WWE has different things to play with. You know, and so there are the dynamics that you're dealing with the deal. Fox wanted to get into the wrestling business so bad they was willing to take SmackDown. They wanted the whole company, which we know we heard rumors of months ago that they wanted to buy the WWE, which was nothing but rumors. Vince is not selling the WWE. I don't care how much money it is. I don't care what anyone says. He's not going to sell the WWE. That's his brainchild. That's his brainchild. That's his baby. That's what he has. There's no dollar amount attached to him being out of control with the WWE. So he will always keep that within the McMahon family, within the family that they have. There'll be no way that he sells that brand.
There's a dollar amount attached to it. It's going to be so high, ain't nobody going to take it.
There's always
a dollar amount for something.
So you're saying everybody has a price?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'll put it this way. Throw between 6 and 10 billion at Vince McMahon to buy WWE and see if he don't take it. I'm sorry. He'd be a fool not to.
But I think he would still, even within that deal, he would still have to have control. In that deal, he would still have to have control.
I think he would try for it. I don't think he'd get it. I think he'd try for it, though.
He'll definitely have control. But, yeah, Vince would actually have to have control. I think there's no need, even if he sells it for that much money, the control, the main trust, the main control will have to go with Vince McMahon. The main trust will have to stay within the McMahon Helmsley family. It wouldn't go anywhere else if that gets to the point where he sells the company. But I think he's going to die the owner and the chairman of the WWE.
I think so, too, though.
Yeah, he dies the owner and chairman of the WWE. He doesn't do anything else. And so with that being, you know what I'm saying? So we're moving into Money in the Bank. We've got Money in the Bank coming up. We have the men's Money in the Bank. We have the women's Money in the Bank. We have right now that we find out another big thing from SmackDown that we have the Usos are no longer in the title picture, tag team title picture, which I thought was huge. That you have Gallows and Anderson now taking on the Blunder Brothers, which I've always said, even on this show, is that you have to have a bigger team to be able to take on Anderson and Gallows, take on the Blunder Brothers. And I think Anderson and Gallows is that team. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you got to start fresh. I mean, you didn't bring all these teams over for the Usos to remain in the title picture. I mean, you just didn't. So It's going to be, it's definitely going to be where you're going to have fresh new faces. I don't see the Bludgeon Brothers losing any time, but some fresh.
It's fresh, but it's definitely fresh, but I'm looking for another tag team to be able to take over. And it will be good for Anderson and Gallows to get a run, and you know AJ Styles get a run as well, and we'll get the AJ get a run AJ Styles being world champion and them being tag team champions, Anderson and Gallows would be a good move for the WWE SmackDown, so you can put the club back together in some way on
right.
SmackDown, and I think that would be beneficial for Anderson and Gallows, who's been in this kind of nerd gimmick type situation. Who's been in all type of the other situations to be legitimized? Because if you look at it, they are one of the most legitimate tag teams on that roster of SmackDown. They've been together a long time.
The most legitimate, realistically.
Yeah.
Just by experience alone. So.
Yeah. So with that, we're on there, and you know, we also had on SmackDown big announcement made. We know what match AJ Styles and Nakamura will be. It will be a last man standing match. AJ Styles and Nakamura being a last man standing match at Money in the Bank. Your thoughts on this one, was it?
This would be good. I mean, it, anytime you put those two together, it's going to be good. And we're definitely going to get some length with this match because it's not just, you know, a throwaway quick match that you can just work any kind of program with. So last man standing. So that's definitely going to go on for a while.
And I totally agree with you on that, you know. It's going to be a good match. And then if you really look back and we go back and look at how this last man standing match came into fruition, you go back to WrestleMania with the low blow, with the low blow by AJ Styles, by Nakamura on AJ Styles. Then if you go into the greatest Royal Rumble and you look at the match where it was a count out, you know, you look at here. Then you go look into the next match where both guys couldn't finish because they got hit in the nuts, you know. So you look at the match and how it is, they have to be – last man standing match was the ideal match for this. It wasn't going to be an I quit match. You didn't see none of that. You want both these guys to come out whole in this match. You don't want neither one of them to be have to say I quit. I thought about this back in the day. If this was back in 1980, early 80s or late 90s, this would be a lose-or-leave town match. But what could they go to? You know, you can just go over down to Raw. You're not going to ship them over that way. But the last man standing match will be great for them. I think this is a way for Nakamura, in my opinion, I'm getting my pick early, to solidify himself as being a good heel within the company. I think he's grown as a heel in the company. I think people embrace him as a heel in the company, even the subtle things by changing his music. The subtle things of him always wearing red and black. The subtle things of him with the mouthpiece and him now speaking a little bit more English on the microphone. Those type of things are really solidifying him as being a heel within the company and a good heel at that. So I think this match right here will be the match that everybody can see and shows their strong style, their hardness of what AJ Styles and Nakamura could do for a show. Will this be the last match at Money in the Bank? I don't know. Can't say. I would put it on last if I was WWE. This is a world title match. This would be the last match. I know a lot of people talked about the backlash match with Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns, and that's neither here nor there. But in this case, Money in the Bank, this should be the last match of the night. It should be AJ Styles and Nakamura, last man standing match. Since this is the title match, and Brock Lesnar will not be at Money in the Bank.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, we'll not be at Money in the Bank. So that's the big match. And the other big match, I'm jumping back to Monday Night Raw. Other big match that's set in stone for Monday Night Raw is Ronda Rousey taking on Nia Jax. And I like how Stephanie McMahon wanted everyone to make sure they understood and that they knew that it was not Ronda Rousey who asked for this match, but it was Nia Jax who wanted to face Ronda Rousey in this match, which I thought was key there. Because people say, you know, you have those naysayers, oh, she's too green, she shouldn't get a title match, she shouldn't do this, that, and the other. Hey, it was Nia asked for the match. Ric Flair said to beat a man, they got to beat the man. So if Ronda wants to beat a woman, she got to beat the woman. And the woman at this point right now is Nia Jax. And
right.
why not make money doing Sweet Week? And why not make money doing Sweeps Week? And they're doing something right because the WWE stock is constantly rising.
Yeah, that was big. That was a big deal.
You know,
Your thoughts on this one early? Do you think Ronda has enough to be in a one-on-one match with the likes of Nia Jax? And on the flip side, because I asked, and I asked somebody else this, does Nia Jax have enough to carry a match for Nia Jax? I mean, for Ronda Rousey. I think this match right here would tell two stories. But I'll give you, you'll go ahead and give your thoughts first.
It's going to be interesting that they're having, I guess in this case, Nia would be the ring general, but it's going to be interesting how they do this because they're both, I mean, Nia is definitely, you know, more experienced, but athletically, they're not that far off in the sense of Nia can work and Ronda can work. So they got some handling to do by our two Sundays because that's a toss up right now, I think.
It is a toss up, and you can run through different theories in my head. I think you said a theory, I mentioned a theory. You know, anything can happen. Ronda could win and get cashed in on. Nia Jax could win clean. Ronda could make Nia Jax tap because they were talking about that this week, that she wasn't too big to get tapped. And we've seen Nia Jax tap before to Asuka
right. And
to other people. So we've seen that happen. It can happen. I know WWE wants us to forget about those times when Nia Jax tapped, but it is possible for her to tap.
Yep.
So we're looking at that aspect of it. It is possible. Ronda could be champion. My fear as a wrestling fan is that if Ronda Rousey wins the title too early, will she get the Roman Reigns treatment?
Only time will tell.
And speaking of time to tell, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we got an interview with Drew McIntyre, ladies and gentlemen. Drew McIntyre was our special guest this week. You will see Drew McIntyre on Monday Night Raw of May 28th, Richmond, Virginia. Tickets are still available. Go to your local box office, Ticketmaster.com, or you can continue listening to the Wrestling Monster Echoes here on 96.9 FM and 1340 AM for your opportunity to win Monday Night Raw tickets. When we come back, we have a quick interview with Drew McIntyre, WWE superstar. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
A new era of WWE Monday Night Raw returns to Richmond. 7:30 tomorrow night at Richmond Coliseum, you'll see the baddest woman on the planet, Ronda Rousey.
I am here.
And in a brutal six-man tag team main event, you'll see the Intercontinental Champion,
Seth freaking Rollins,
as he joins Braun Strowman.
Somebody is going to get these hands.
And Finn Balor.
This is Balor Club.
As they face Jinder Mahal.
The Maharaja era has only just begun.
Kevin Owens.
This is going to be our show.
And Sami Zayn.
That's a double yes.
Plus Nia Jax.
Raw Women's Champion.
Raw GM Kurt Angle.
A witch too.
And more. 7:30 tomorrow night at Richmond Coliseum. Don't wait. Great seats are still available at the box office and Ticketmaster.
I warned you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. Right now, we are joined by our special guest, which is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre. Good message, Mr. McIntyre. How are you doing this afternoon, sir?
I'm fantastic this afternoon. I'm just in Albany, New York for WWE Raw Live here. And 1 week from tonight, we're coming to Richmond, Virginia with the show.
Yeah, definitely. Richmond, Virginia, Memorial Day festivities at Richmond Coliseum. Bell time starting at 7 p.m. on Monday Night Raw. You know, Mr. McIntyre, you're back here in the WWE. You're back on Monday Night Raw. How does it feel to be back on Monday Night Raw? You had a stint there in NXT, being former NXT champion.
Yeah, it feels great to be, you know, back in the number one show in the world. This is all I've ever done. This is the only job I've ever had. I got signed by WWE from university at 21. I spent 8 years in WWE. I got released and had to work myself from the bottom back to the top to become the number one guy outside of WWE. Came back home to NXT last year, won the NXT title, got injured for 5 months, and my return wasn't to NXT. My return was to Monday Night Raw, and it's been very fun since I came back. You know, the first run, I didn't give everything I had. I had a few regrets, and I'm not going to let one moment slip by, especially on Monday night.
Definitely that. You know, you was off the shelf for 5 months. While you was out there for 5 months, what were you thinking? Were you like, man, you know, sometimes you're at the doorstep, you're back in the company, and then you get hurt. What was your thought process after the injury?
I mean, the thing is, you know, there's that great Rocky speech from Rocky Balboa where he talks about, you know, it's not how hard you can hit, it's how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. And I'm a bit of the master of the comeback kid. You know, I've had a few things in my life knock me on my arse, like especially being fired, and I never took it as woe is me. I looked at it as an opportunity. Okay, how do I better myself? How do I get to the next level? And that's exactly what I did with the injury. I was a champion at the time. It was unfortunate. It sucked for the night. I let it bother me for one night, and the next day I was like, okay, what am I going to do next? How am I going to get to the next level? And the most logical step for me was, okay, I got to go back to the number one show in the world. I got to come back to Monday Night Raw, and I got to show the world the new Drew McIntyre.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are on with Drew McIntyre, WWE superstar, which will be here next Monday night at the Richmond Coliseum on Memorial Day, Monday Night Raw. With it, go ahead, Nephew Corey.
Mr. Drew, how you doing today, sir?
Fantastic. Every Monday night, I am great.
Good, good, good. I wanted to ask you, I know my co-host Glenn had touched on your time in NXT. I wanted to take back to actually coming back to WWE and actually going to NXT. What kind of choice was that for you to actually be able to go to NXT and work in that type of environment?
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to do. When I was out with WWE, I became a bit of a franchise player. Like, I represented companies in America, in the UK, in Australia, and I helped grow the brand. Like in Scotland, for example, when I came back home, the biggest show was 1,000 people, and then we built it to 4,000 people, and then we built it to over 7,000 people. So I became somebody who was really increasing different brands, and the WWE name, like Raw and SmackDown, you know, their name really sells the show, but NXT was somewhere that a person could make the difference. And when my contract was up elsewhere, I decided, you know, what am I going to do next? Spoke to William Regal, who's a mentor of mine, who put me in touch with Triple H. We had like a 30-minute conversation. He'd been watching what I was up to. He was very proud of everything I achieved. And we both decided it was time for me to come home, and the first step would be perfect in NXT. And I loved every second of it. I loved being champion. I loved representing the brand. And I can assure you there's a lot of people down there that deserve to be on Raw. And there's a few people on Raw that don't necessarily deserve to be here right now because they don't have the fire in their eyes like the kids down in NXT. And I'm going to start weeding out the people that don't belong here.
Hmm. All right. And one more question about that NXT experience. When you finally climbed that mountain and won the NXT championship, how was that feeling, and how does that winning that championship compare to winning other championships you won in your career?
I mean, that really meant a lot to me. There's a picture where I'm kind of on my knees. I raise it and I drop to my knees and I'm looking at it, and the picture kind of sums up, you know, how I feel if you just Google that picture. Mm-hmm. But it was a culmination of all the hard work. You know, I won the Intercontinental title when I was 24. I won the tag title when I was 24, and that was, you know, a dream. But I was such a kid, and I was so go, go, go at the time. I didn't learn to relax till I was a lot older and take in the moment and soak in the moment. And the time and the independence, et cetera, I got to win a lot of, you know, titles that meant a lot to me, and they were very special to me. But to come back to WWE after that break and to win the NXT title, which is something that I thought about the year I was released from WWE, I told my wife, the plan is, I'm going to make a difference in wrestling. I'm going to go back to NXT, and I'm going to become NXT champion, and then I'm going to go back to Raw. And she said, okay, whatever. I literally said that out loud, and that was the plan. And for it to come to fruition, because I put everything into it, I worked my arse off. I stopped drinking. I cut out the negatives in my life, and I really worked so hard, and that was just the culmination of all the hard work. It all came out in that moment. I dropped to my knees with the title, and it was a pretty cool feeling.
All right, and last question for me. You and Dolph's agenda on Raw, What is your end goal here to really?
My end goal is just to ensure that Raw is the number one show in the world from top to bottom. It already is. But the way I see it, I was out for 5 months. I was watching the show. I came backstage, and like Dolph and I were around back in the day. We traveled the road with The Undertaker. We traveled the roads with The Edges and The Christians. We were even in the same roster as Ric Flair when I was 22, and Dolph was there. You know, we've seen the old school mentality, and suddenly everybody's best friends now. There's nobody with the killer instinct. There's like phenomenal talent. We have like the best roster in the world, but there are a bunch of guys that just don't have that fire in their eyes. And that's what happened to me. I can say it because I was that guy. I got fired because I was that guy, and I deserved to get fired. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And as far as I'm concerned, it has to be all killer and no filler. And there is some filler around here, and I can look in the guys and girls' eyes, and I can tell who wants it and who doesn't want it. If you don't want it, there's people in NXT waiting to take your spot. and I'm ruthless because I want this place to succeed. That this is my life, and I'm here to make a difference.
And that, with that being said, if somebody's listening to this interview that's in Richmond, Virginia, driving a car right now, listening to 96.9 FM, what makes them want to come to Monday Night Raw next week? To see,
Monday Night Raw in the world. Like, the live experience of Monday Night Raw is such a spectacle. Like, I always wanted to be a part of it. Like, I was a kid in Scotland. Like, it was such a faraway dream, and it was such an incredible spectacle that just captivated my imagination. I just wanted to be part of it so much. And everyone saw it as this, like, crazy dream. Like, to be there live is like nothing else. I know people, like, in my personal life that have came to watch me just because they know me. They're like, oh, I'll come see Drew wrestle. I'm not a big fan of the sports entertainment of the wrestling, but I'll come see Drew because he's my friend. Afterwards, they were like, wow, you know, that was a pretty incredible show. So I'm glad I came along to that. You just have to give it a chance is the way I look at it. If you're a fan, you know already. But if you're not a fan or you're just unsure, give it a chance. I assure you afterwards, you're going to say, wow, Drew was right. That was a heck of a show. It's like being there live at Monday Night Raw.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're on with Drew McIntyre, WWE superstar, who will be in Richmond, Virginia next Monday Night Raw on Memorial Day. That's right, Memorial Day, Monday Night Raw will be here in Richmond, Virginia, Richmond Coliseum. Hey, Mr. McIntyre, I'm still the Wizard's nephew Corey's question. He always asks, if there's one person living or dead that you would like to wrestle with, who would it be?
Ooh, there's a couple. Like, I would get a triple threat with me, Bret Hart, and Shawn Michaels, maybe.
Ooh, oh, yeah. Ooh. Very, very,
like
very good.
One of my favorites.
That's it. Yeah. And, you know, and that's a good selection, man. You know, you mentioned you being released several times in this interview. You know, your partner, when you were released, Jinder Mahal was also released. Heath Slater stayed. Have you guys still been close since the release and since you've been back on the main show, Monday Night Raw?
Yeah. I mean, I always kept in contact with Heath, mostly through text. Like, he was doing his thing still on the road with WWE, and I was traveling as the busiest wrestler in the entire world during that period. But Jinder lived in the Tampa area where I also stay. So we see each other regular, you know, these days instead of, you know, partying that we used to do in the past. We're very much into working out and dieting and training. We're a bit older now and a bit wiser. So yeah, we've always kept in contact and always training together. And he's always around at the house with the wife and I.
Thank you. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, with Drew McIntyre, WWE superstar. Ms. McIntyre, thank you for your time. Thank you for being here. And also, we want to catch up with you next week and then catch up with you next week at Monday Night Raw. That's Richmond Coliseum, 7 p.m. bell time. Don't be late. You can also win tickets here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 a.m. and 96.9 FM, your WWE station here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Mr. McIntyre. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you down the road, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you all, and I look forward to seeing everybody there, especially first-time fans.
A new era of WWE Monday Night Raw returns to Richmond. 7:30 tomorrow night at Richmond Coliseum. You'll see the baddest woman on the planet, Ronda Rousey.
I am here.
And in a brutal six-man tag team main event, you'll see the Intercontinental Champion,
Seth freaking Rollins,
as he joins Braun Strowman.
Somebody is going to get these hands.
And Finn Balor.
This is Balor Club.
As they face Jinder Mahal.
The Maharaja era has only just begun.
Kevin Owens.
This is going to be our show.
And Sami Zayn.
That's a double yes.
Plus Nia Jax.
Raw Women's Champion.
Raw GM Kurt Angle.
Oh, it's true.
And more. 7:30 tomorrow night at Richmond Coliseum. Don't wait. Great seats are still available at the box office and Ticketmaster.
I warned you.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. What a great interview by Drew McIntyre. Don't forget WWE Monday Night Raw, Richmond Coliseum, this Monday night, May 28th. Hey, check it out. It will be live. Continue listening to 96.9 FM, 1340 AM for your opportunity to win your tickets. Wizard, man, what a great interview by Drew McIntyre. Some things that he said that was great. Now, I want to touch on this one. I can't believe there's still guys in the WWE locker room that don't have fire in their eyes or don't have fire in their hearts, that don't want to be where he's at. You mean Drew comes back, go to NXT, spend a short time in NXT compared to some other people, became the NXT champion, now is back on the main roster, and you can see the fire in his eyes. Are they really still people on the main roster that don't have fire?
Yeah. And it baffles me just like it baffles you, because I'm knowing are seeing NXT every week, and I'm like, they can bring up anybody at any moment to replace me because there's people down there ready. So I do believe the complacent superstars are back there.
But you should want to be complacent. Should we want to be complacent? Look how many long we've been talking about, oh, WWE wrestling fans. Even go back to Stone Cold's podcast with Vince McMahon, or, you know, if you call it a podcast, whatever, video cast on the network. And they were talking about grabbing the brass ring. And this is Atlanta opportunity. People shouldn't walk on eggshells. Go grab the brass ring. Go have your 5-minute match. Go have your 6-minute match and do the best you can do in those 6 minutes. You know, or I see people look at, or people look at people like Big Cass. Rumors coming out. Big Cass wanted to do something different, you know, and got a little bit of heat because he wanted to go against the status quo. Maybe that's turning right. people off and making them fearful.
Absolutely. No. Those are all great points. Those are all excellent points. You gotta look at it this way. If there are guys that are still complacent and okay with just collecting a paycheck, it's pretty much going to end for them soon anyway. They create a spot that are a mile away, and they'll get you out of here quick.
They got to be – the roster's fooling up. You got to, like you say, a lot of young, hungry guys and women down in the NXT. We talked about it earlier in the show. If SmackDown goes to 3 hours, you need more talent to fill that. Quality
sure
talent.
Do.
And
sure
so if quality talent comes up and they're hungry and they're getting over, you as an old-timer, you're taking a slide back. And there's some old-timers, you're not sliding back to NXT now. There used to be a time, and people remember just not a few short years ago, they would send an old-timer back to NXT for a little bit.
Sure were.
And then bring them up. Or if you go back to history, they sent somebody like the Big Show down Ohio Valley to get a little bit better. You
sure
know.
Did.
And so, but now they don't need you like that because it's a good farm system. You might be out the door.
That's what I was going to say. There's not really too much room for error where they're like, okay, we kind of need you on the roster still, so we'll send you here. They got about 4 people that they can put in your spot. So they're going to move on. That you're just a cog in the wheel, or a spoke on the wheel. They're going to keep going.
And they have not made, as we known in the past, those WrestleMania releases like they used to.
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't made them yet. But look at last year. Last year, they didn't release too many people. Darren Young got released. People got released because they got in trouble. Rick Swann was this year. Enzo Mori was this year because we've gotten in trouble. They wasn't what you would call a mass sweep that they used to do after the European tour. It will be a mass sweep of releases because the WWE wanted to clear house. There was only about 4 or 5
they're not
people.
Hurting right now. That's the thing. They're not hurting for money right now.
It's true. But they're hurting for TV time because if you look at a Monday Night Raw, we see the same people in segments throughout Raw. Those 3 hours.
Yeah.
You don't see the same one. SmackDown, you got those 2 hours. You see some of the same people multiple times. And if you're a talent in the back, your goal is to get on TV, whether it's a boo, 5 minutes, 2 minutes. If it's cheered, if it's a backstage segment, you want to be on TV every week. But we have some wrestlers that we have not seen on TV every week. You know, and Devin knows it's creative. It may be that hunger that Drew's talking about. Maybe he's not bringing an idea to Vince McMahon or bringing the idea to the producers. Think about New Day. New Day, the gimmick they took, they said, like, look, this is what we want to do with the gimmick. Can we do this to the gimmick? And let's take off. They took off. They put all their money into it, and it shot to the roof. You know, Usos.
Yep.
The gimmick. So you have people who's outspoken and not walking on eggshells, but they back it up in the ring as well. And I think what Drew's talking about, look, he's here to be at the top. He's not the chosen one anymore. He's just A1 or the one, and he wants to be at the top of his game, and that means going through everybody, even if it ends up being that Dolph Ziggler later down. He understands what it means to be fired. He understands what it meant to be one of those guys in the back just collecting a paycheck. So he doesn't want to be that guy anymore. He wants to be at the top. He wants to be Intercontinental Champion. He wants to be a Universal Champion. He wants to be a Tag Team Champion. He wants to be at the top of his game, and that those guys in the locker room are not as hungry as he is, he'll pass them.
Sure will. Absolutely.
You know, he'll pass them. Look at Elias. Elias done skyrocketed since he's been an NXT guy. And he's one of the top people in the company right now. Why? Because he was able to get on the stick. He was able to do his own thing. He was able to get over. People like him and hate him. Enzo Amore, whether he could wrestle or not, was able to get over.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, he used himself. So some guys can't do that. Some girls can't do that. And if they're a wrestler in the back who's not hungry, my goodness, get hungry. Get hungry. It makes the competition better. You hear guys like JR say all the time, when the WWE was at its heyday during the Attitude Era, as people say, is the heyday of WWE. It was a lot of guys and girls, but they were very competitive and they wanted to be on top, and which made the wrestling better. Which made the wrestling better for the fans. If you get all those guys in the back, they get more, get hungrier. It makes the product better for us, especially with companies like Fox and different organizations wanting to buy WWE.
Absolutely, you hit it right on the head.
Absolutely, you know. Hey, with that being said, was it another show down in the books? Appreciate you, sir. A great show here. Monday Night Raw. I'll be there. You'll be there. Brian Waters will be there as well. So check out his podcast with Brian H. Check out the podcast with him. You can hear it on iTunes, Stitcher. Check out our podcast on iTunes, Google Play. Where else you get your social media. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Tell us how we did. If you like us, leave us a 5-star review. If you don't like us, also leave us a 5-star review, but leave your comment there as well. Hey, Wizard, take us home.
Hey, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
End of story, ladies and gentlemen. Good night. Catch you next week.